keep Sister Joyce in our prayers as well. Got her on the line here, so we're thankful for that. And Sister Judy Gray also, I got to talk with her several times this week, and she's doing better, so we're thankful for that. So I do need your prayers as I stand before you this afternoon. I do appreciate the sweet prayer that's been offered. And it's just a delight to see each and every one of you that have gathered here this afternoon. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you from Psalm 27. Psalm 27. This psalm has been on my mind very much this weekend and really all week. It's often one that I look at and find a great deal of comfort and consolation in. I pray the Lord would just help us to look at it together this afternoon and find those things that he would have for us in this particular passage. This is a psalm of David. I love to think about David and all that the Lord did for David. David was a man after the Lord's own heart. David was a great king, king of Israel, anointed by the Lord, and used of the Lord. And the Lord blessed David in a mighty way in his life in so many ways. And this psalm speaks to that, speaks of the deliverance that came from the Lord to David, how David had the strength that he had and the abilities that he had. And that's very important for us to understand that David was a man like unto us, a man of like passions like unto us. And the things that he was able to do by God's grace, God's little children today are able to do those same things as we need them, by the same grace that was given to David. Reading from that passage in Psalm 27, it says again, a psalm of David. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said, unto thee thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And boy, if we could just take this admonition and apply it to our lives and keep it in the forefront of our minds and remember when we're going through difficulties where our help comes from, what a help this really would be for all of us today. He says to begin with, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And that's really important for us to understand. The Lord that he's talking about is none other than the Son of God, the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a declaration of faith that David is making, and we know where faith comes from. Faith is not something that I can give you or you can give me. It's the gift of God. It's by grace that we're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And David here had faith to believe that the Lord is my light and my salvation. He didn't just say the Lord is a light. He didn't just say the Lord is a salvation. He applied that personally to himself. And I love to think about Romans 10, where it says, with the mouth, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's a confession that you and I should be making with our mouths. Of course, it comes out of the heart. Or if it's just with the mouth and it's not from the heart, then it's not anything to that. But there's a confession that you and I should be making with our mouths and with our lives, that we believe in the Lord and we trust in the Lord, and that He is our light and that He is our salvation. We also know that without the Lord, there is no light. And without the Lord, there is no salvation. There's no salvation in any other. Over in the Ephesian letter, the Apostle Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 5. He says in verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So, prior to the Lord giving us light, what were we? The Bible says ye were sometimes darkness. We were in darkness, we were darkness, and we would have never responded to the light or seen the light. Jesus is the light of the world. John 8 tells us that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And the light shined in darkness, in John 1 it says, "And the darkness comprehended it not." And so the darkness is not able on its own to respond to the light or have any action because of the light. Jesus is the light, but you and I would not know anything about that or have any desire for that unless the Lord works a light in us that comes from Him. He has to work that in us. The Lord has to give us light. And who is our light? Jesus is our light. We don't go get Jesus to get light, because darkness won't comprehend light, won't go after light. The light has to come to us, and that's the good news of God's sovereign grace. If you found the Lord, it's because He found you. If you love the Lord, it's because He first loved you. If you're able to see the Lord, it's because He's given you light to be able to see Him. Jesus is the only light. If we were left to ourselves, we'd be in the dark. And there would be no darkness. There would be nothing but darkness in our lives. By that I mean you would not be able to know God, would not be able to love God, would not have any desire for the things of God, would not appreciate the work of the Lord Jesus Christ or have any desire for it. We would not be able to be convinced of it. All the preaching in the world would never convince you of it. All of the teaching in the world would never convince you of it. Mama couldn't help you. Daddy couldn't help you. It has to come from the Lord. Now, where does light come from? Well, the Bible here tells us that the Lord is my light. And He says in verse 8 of Ephesians 5, He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." Now, how did we come from darkness to light? Well, somewhere along the way, the Lord born us again of His Spirit. We were regenerated. We were made alive. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." We were dead in trespasses and in sins, and then the light of the Lord came, the life from the Lord came, that life that's in the Lord Jesus Christ came to us, and we who were sometimes darkness were made light in the Lord. And so now we have the ability, as God's little children, to follow after the Lord. He says, "But now are you light in the Lord." And then He goes on and He says, "Walk as children of light." So our responsibility today is to walk as God's children, because He's made us His children. And that is to walk in the light. The psalmist is telling us, David is telling us here, that his strength, his ability, His ability to live in this world and get along in this world has come from the Lord. His spiritual life came from the Lord. His spiritual light came from the Lord. The Lord is the source of his life. The Lord is the source of his salvation. And therefore, he's not going to be afraid of anything that he might have to face in this world when he keeps in mind where his strength comes from. Now, when do we get afraid? When we start thinking we are our light. When we start thinking we're our salvation. When we take any part of the work of the Lord and try to apply it to us so that our salvation depends in part upon Him and in part upon us, That's really a statement of darkness, because salvation doesn't belong in part to us and part to Him. Salvation is completely of the Lord. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And therefore all the praise and all the honor and all the glory belongs to the Lord. And our ability even to know about it and to talk about it comes from the Lord. The Lord is the one who's allowed us to see Him and the wonderful works of God in our lives. As a matter of fact, without the Lord, our life really wouldn't be worth living. He is the source of our life. He's the reason we're alive. He is the one that we are to honor and to praise and to glorify and to look to. The Lord is my light, and He is also my salvation. Now, that word salvation means in every aspect, the Lord is our salvation. How is it that one day we'll live with Him in heaven? There's only one hope I have of being with the Lord in heaven, and that is that Jesus died for me at Calvary. My believing in that isn't my hope. My believing in it gives me peace and rest. But Him doing it, that's my hope in what He's done for me. That He loved me before the very foundation of the world. That God the Father loved me. And He gave me to God the Son. And God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for me on the cross. And in time, the Holy Spirit has come and taken up His abode in my heart. And Jesus has spoken life to me and given me light. And therefore, He is not only, He's my light, and He's my salvation. Now, David is confessing that. Now, I believe that to be the truth. So what should you and I be confessing? If you believe that, what should we be confessing? We should be confessing that though we are in the dark, and this world is full of darkness, you'd agree with that, don't you? That you look around all this world and you see darkness. I heard one little brother tell me this week as I was talking to him, he said, I don't believe I've ever felt the darkness more than I'm feeling it right now in this world. It seems like everywhere I turn, I see darkness here and darkness there, and there's so little truth being talked about. Today we've come to a place where we're talking about the truth. And we know what's the truth. Well, how can we know the truth? Because the Lord is our light. And if you can know the truth, the Lord's given you light. And what that means is even though we're surrounded by darkness and surrounded by enemies, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're only here for a little while. How are we going to make it in this old dark world? How is our children going to make it? How are we going to handle things in this dark world? Well, we're not to walk around saying, oh, I don't know how we're going to make it. We're to trust in the Lord and lean upon the Lord and the confession of our mouth. We believe in our heart in the Lord. That's what we believe in our heart. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, which means I want to profess it and confess it. Now, does confessing it make you washed in the blood? No. Jesus did that on the cross some 2,000 years ago, long before you were ever born into this world. The work of redemption was complete in a legal sense when Jesus shed His blood and paid the sin debt. He paid for my sin debt if I'm His, and He paid for your sin debt and removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. But right now, as I'm living here in this world, I need deliverance today, don't you? I need His timely deliverance. I need it right now. Well, how am I going to find that salvation? Well, I am to confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. When I do that, guess what? I'm at peace. When I fail to do that and I start trusting in myself, do I still have that peace? No. I lose that peace and that rest. I take us back to a time when the psalmist David was about to go into battle against Goliath. And there was a giant that stood before him, at least 9'9", probably maybe up to 11 foot. I don't know exactly how tall, carrying probably over 250 to 300 pounds of armor upon him, and having holding a weaver's beam, that which appeared to be a weaver's beam and as a spear that was probably 2 to 2.5 inches in diameter, and there with an 18-pound head on that spear, he was ready to do battle against David. And you see others of God's children in Israel that were afraid to battle him at all. You know why they were afraid? Did they have as much ability as David? Well, probably in a natural sense, many of them had more than David. Because David wasn't a trained soldier as such. He was a pretty good warrior because God had made him to be a pretty good warrior. The Lord had blessed him in many ways. But David had just come from his father's house from tending the sheep and had come to the battle and saw what was going on and saw there was no one who was standing up for the things of God, no one who was stepping up to a giant who was day by day, over 40 days he stood there and defied the armies of Israel, saying, "You send out a man before me and I defied all the armies of Israel." Now it's not so bad that he defied the armies of Israel, but in doing that he also defied the God of Israel. And he was saying there's no God in Israel. As a matter of fact, he was saying, "My gods are greater than your God. The ones I serve are greater than your God." Because when David stood before him, he cursed David in the name of his gods, which he said, "My gods are going to overcome you, David, and take care of you." Now, what did David see when he saw the giant? Everybody else saw a man at least 9 foot tall. You can imagine if he walked in this room, all of us turned and looked at him, we'd say, we hope we're on his side and not opposed to him by nature. That's the way you would feel. And everybody else saw a man of war, saw a man that was carrying all this armor and a man who had been trained in war, and nobody was going to be able to defeat him or stop him. And David looked at him and said, "All I'm seeing is an uncircumcised Philistine." What he meant by that was, all I'm seeing is someone who did not bow to God, who was not looking to the Lord, who was trusting in his own power and his own might and his own power. He's an alien to the commonwealth of Israel, and he's standing up in the face of Almighty God. It didn't matter how tall he was or how big or how great he thought he was. When you stand up against God, you're at a place. And you're in a place where someone should call you to task. And here David says, "Is there not a cause?" He looked at his brothers and he says, "Who is this man and what he's doing?" And his brothers said, "What are you doing here anyway?" And he was there because his father had sent him to come and to help his brothers. But his brothers were jealous of him, no doubt, and said, "David, you're just trying to be something you're not." Brethren, I want you to know, as God's little children, we're not to get arrogant and puffed up. We're to be humble. But we're to trust in the Lord. And when you're facing the problems of life, when you face your Goliaths, when you face your lions, and you face your bears, that David had a lion come when he was a shepherd in the flock. He was happy to be a shepherd at his father's house. And when the lion came, David grabbed that lion by the beard and he slew that lion. Even took the little lamb out of the lion's mouth that lion had taken. And how did he do that? Did he do it because David was such a mighty man? No. He did it because he trusted in the Lord. You and I have lions that come in our life. And how do we face those lions? And if it's not a lion, it might be a bear. Because the bear came right after the lion. Sometimes when the lions come in my life, I go, "Why am I having to deal with this lion?" I go, "Why am I having to have this problem? Why am I having to have this trouble?" Do you realize that the lion came in preparation for Goliath? And the lion came and the bear came in preparation for Goliath. And Goliath came in order to honor and glorify God. Now that was not the intent of Goliath. But I'll tell you, when God got finished with it, his name was praised, was it not? As this enemy of God stood to defy the armies of God and all of Israel. All, no doubt, many of them God's little children. Because sometimes God's little children don't walk as they ought to walk. If that was the case, the Apostle Paul would never tell us that we had to walk as children of light. Why does he tell us that? He tells us that because you are a child of light. Listen, little children, I want us to see today that each of us are, in a sense, like David. Not that the power was in David, or not that we get puffed up in that, but we need to recognize that David was just a man like unto us, but by the power and the grace of God, he was able to deliver the sheep from the mouth of the lion and the bear. And when it came time to stand before Goliath, all David could see is an uncircumcised Philistine that defied the armies of the living God. He didn't just say, "You defied the armies of Israel." It's not just about Israel. It's not just about the church. It's not just about God's people. It's about they are God's people. This house belongs to the Lord. This church belongs to the Lord. I will even say it this way. The individual members, the individual attendees, the ones that are here that have the light of the Lord You and I belong to the Lord. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We don't have the right just to live our lives any old way. Our duty and our responsibility is to live our lives walking in that plain path that David asked for here, and that is the path of righteousness. Remember in Psalm 23, he said, "Lead us in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake." And that is for the honor and the glory of God. God made you to glorify Him. That's what your family's supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do as mamas and daddies and grandparents. And in our lives, we're about honoring and glorifying God. And we look at the task and we see this dark world and we see the adversaries that we have, the physical afflictions that we have, so many of the enemies that are in this world that would lead us down another course. We even see our own family, sometimes our nearest friends and our relations, rather than being a help. Were they a help to David? Was his brothers a help to David? David's getting ready to go into battle. Getting ready to fight Goliath. You'd think somebody that wasn't willing to fight would at least encourage him and say, "David, go ahead. I think you can handle it." Yeah, give him a word of encouragement. You know what they said? "You're just showing off. Why are you here anyway? Who's keeping the sheep? You just have a few sheep that daddy's let you be responsible for. What did you do?" Remember when David left the sheep, he left them in charge of someone else. He didn't just leave the sheep. He came there at the will of his father. Jesse had sent him to come. The father of David, Jesse, had sent him to come to see about his brethren. He was there because he loved his brethren. And when the fight was coming, I don't know how you, if a man would be afraid rather than go into the fight, I'd just say, "Well, let him go fight. I'll hang out here and see how things are going." But David was someone who was concerned about the things of God. And he was concerned about his brethren. Now, where did that come from in David? Was he just raised a little different? Was it in his bloodline? Well, if it was in his bloodline, wouldn't his brothers have the same kind of response? I'll tell you what we'll do by nature. I'll do the same thing that you do. And you'll do the same thing that I do. What is it that we've done by nature? The Bible tells us what we've all done. We've all what? We've all fallen short. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many of us are good by nature? Not one of us. I know that's not pleasant for us to talk about, but that's what the Bible teaches. There is none good, no, not one. And if all we were in here today was just what we are by nature, we'd all be in the dark and in darkness, and there would be no hope, and there'd be no good news, and there'd be no gospel. Listen, we've got a good news. I want to share it. We've got a gospel. We've got something to hope in and one to trust in. That is not to trust in ourselves. We're to trust in the God of Israel. The God who blessed David to stand there and look at the giant that everybody else was afraid of. And he looked at him and he said, "Who is this that defies the armies of the living God?" And some might say, "Well, Saul, maybe Saul can help David fight this battle." Saul, if anybody ought to fought it, Saul was the one that was picked king because he was tall of stature and he looked like a warrior. And he was just what the nation wanted in a king. And what a mess they made in selecting Saul. And remember David, even among his own family. Even Jesse didn't bring David up and say, "I think David would make a good king." Remember when Samuel came to anoint one of the sons of Jesse, and the Lord said, "Saul's no more going to be king, so we need a new king, another king, and I have a king for you." And he sent Samuel to anoint King David. David was just a lad, and all of the sons became before Samuel. And Samuel even saw one that looked good. I think it was Eliab, the oldest one. He said, "He looks like a good one." And the Lord said, "No, that's not him." So David didn't look like he was much. I mean, he was a fair countenance. The giant said he's a fair countenance and he's ruddy and he's just a lad. And he said, "Am I a dog that you just send somebody out here?" David comes up to fight this giant with a shepherd's staff. And there's the giant carrying probably, as I've said, probably as much as I can see, at least maybe 250 to 300 pounds of armor. A breastplate that the coat of mail that he's wearing is about 156 pounds. We got the scripture on that. And the iron spear head is about 18 pounds. We've got scripture on that. And there he goes into the battle. And no one's willing to step up. But David says there's a cause. Is there not a cause? And what was the cause? This man is defying the army of Israel. This not only the army of Israel, but the God of Israel. This man is defying the armies of the living God. In other words, he's standing in the way of God. And that just should not be. Listen, you and I, as we face life's problems, we should do them by faith. In other words, I want to trust in the Lord. I want to lean upon Him more. I don't know about you, but as I examine my own life, I can do that a whole lot better than I've been doing. As I look at my own life, there's been a lot of battles I've been facing that I've tried to fight them myself. You know, and even Saul said, I think you need, if you're going to fight this battle, I'll help you out. Let me give you my armor. Saul wasn't willing to wear his own armor into the battle. Have you noticed that? But he was willing to take his armor and put it on David, whether it was his and that it was his own armor or some that he owned. He wasn't willing to put that same armor on and go fight the battle. But since David said he was going, and Saul had tried to buy somebody as much as he could, he tried to bribe them to go. I don't believe David was interested in one bit about what he would get for doing it. I believe he asked those things that he might be identified and noticed as the one who was willing to go. And Saul, by God's providence, Saul was able to know that about David. And David went there into the battle. And when Saul's armor got on David, can you imagine what that little lad looked like with Saul's armor on? The helmet, you know, I remember football helmets when they didn't fit, you could turn them all the way around. You know, and they knew that if the helmet didn't fit, if you could pull it all the way around on your face and get turned around on the side. I imagine this armor didn't fit. And David was assayed to go, which means he was willing to go. But when he tried to go, David, he said, it's not been proved, which means I haven't tested this armor. I don't know whether this worked. I know something that will work. And that is what God's given me. And so he went down to the brook and he got him five smooth stones. And those five smooth stones in a sling. And he took his shepherd's staff. And there he went into the battle. And there's the giant looking at this little boy coming with a shepherd's staff. And he says, am I a dog? You know what I really believe he said? Am I just a dog that you're going to beat me off with a stick? I mean, you're just going to hit me with a stick and drive me away. Is that what you think I am? And he thought he was, this was going to be bad. And you know, everybody probably looking at it thought, this is going to be bad. Because it doesn't seem like they're going to stand. Listen, we look at a world today that seems to be hard to get along in. We're looking at a world today that seems to be going to overcome us and overwhelm us. Can I say to you today that if the Lord is our light, and I believe He is, and I want to confess that, and the Lord is my salvation, and I believe He is, and I want to confess that, and we come together in our meeting houses and we sing that. That's what we sang today. And we speak that to one another. And we believe that. And we embrace that. And we live that. No matter what Goliath we face. No matter what lion comes our way. No matter what providence we might have in front of us. God being with us. We can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us, and the one who is with David and was with David is with us, and we can lean upon Him so much so that as our life, as we live our life in that way, we'll live it to the honor and the praise and the glory of God. And that's what David said. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Shall I fear a giant? Oh no. You know why? Because he's standing in the way of the Lord, and the Lord's going to take care of him. When David took that one smooth stone, it found its place. There are a lot of people wondering, say, well, I don't know how in the world it could have hit him in the forehead if he's wearing that armor on. I'm telling you what, the Lord could have sent that rock through the armor if he wanted to. He could have brought it up under the armor. He could have made it curve and go up under there. I know this. Hey, it wasn't just David's sling and the accuracy of a shepherd boy. It was the power of Almighty God that caused that giant to fall flat. And when the giant fell, David said, the Lord is going to show us today that the Lord delivers, but not with sword, not with the strength of man, but by His own power. And I'll tell you, doesn't our lives just show us over and over again the Lord has delivered us by His own power? I just want you to think about your own life. How has the Lord been with you in so many ways that you at times may have thought, how am I going to get through this one? How am I going to make this one? Sometimes even when all you could see would be darkness, the Lord has allowed you now to look back on it with a little light. And you, that light, where did that light come from? Well, the light that's in you, I know where it comes from. I can see it in you. I can look over the congregation and see the light shining. I can see it, a reflection. What is that? That is your belief and your trust in the Lord. You let your light so shine. Where did that come from? Well, if you're able to believe in Him, it's because He gave you faith. And that light came from, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's what He's done for you. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. And that's a wonderful thing to think about. What would it be today if you and I had to keep ourselves, as some people are trying to do? They got saved and now they're trying to keep themselves saved. They're trying to just continue to act and behave and believe. And every little time that they mess up or make some mistake. And by the way, if you're breathing today, you're going to make a mistake. If you're living today, there's going to be enough that you do wrong today. That if our salvation and our strength was in us, we'd already messed up. Isn't it good to know today that my light is not from me, that my life is not from me, and my strength is not from me, but I have the light, I have the life, and I have the strength. It's the gift of Almighty God given to me, so I'm to live that life to the honor and glorifying of God. I'm to walk in the light that He has given me, and I'm to walk by the strength that He's allowed me to have. And that strength is sufficient that one day I will finish my course and I'll be with the Lord in heaven and immortal glory. How do I know that? Because God cannot fail. God cannot fail. If my strength was in me, I might fail. If your strength was in me, that wouldn't be a good place to have any trust. If our trust is in the Lord, though, we're trusting in the Lord who has all power given to Him in heaven and in earth, who cannot fail. Isn't it good to know that our salvation is in the Lord, our light is in the Lord, and our strength is in the Lord? He says, of whom shall I be afraid? In other words, we look at this world, and there's a lot of things that cause me to fear when I forget who I am and who my Lord is. When I remember who I am, that's what church does for me. It allows me to remember again who I am. It allows me to remember who I'm to look to. It helps me stay on the right path. It guides me and directs me in this world. If I was darkness altogether, coming to church would not be of any benefit to me because the light would be shine, but the darkness would not comprehend it. But because I've been made alive by the Lord, I can see the light. Can you see the light? Can you see the light? Do you see the light? In other words, if you look in the darkness, remember that tunnel, Brother Terry, you and I looked in and how dark it was down that tunnel? But you had one little light down at the end. You'd see that light all at the end. You could see that light. Now, if we were dead, could we see that light? Absolutely not. The light would be there, but there would be no response on our part. If you can see the light, that's evidence you're not dead. Which means you've been made alive. And by the way, the life that's in you is Christ Jesus. That's good to know, isn't it? The life that's in you is Christ Jesus. He's the one who made you alive. The light that you have, the ability to know Christ, is from Christ. It came from Him. And the strength to keep you is in Him. He's your strength. He's your life. He's your light. That make you feel better? Hope so. It sure helps me right now. To remember that my life is in Him, my light is in Him, and my strength is in Him. And because of that, I've got a lot of things I can't solve right now in my life. There's a lot of things I'd like to fix that I can't solve. I know you're like that too, because I've talked to you and I've heard from you. You've got a lot of things. But can I say to you, the one who slew Goliath was not David, but the God of David. The one who delivered David time and time again was not David himself, but the God of David. And David is saying to us here that that same strength, that same ability is ours. And as we walk in Him, we walk in the light, we have no reason to be afraid. Isn't that good? Have no reason to be afraid. He says, when the wicked, get this, verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. That means in the past, when I've had the wicked of all different types, David had men that came But wickedness can come in many forms. The old devil himself can come and give us a fit. He ever bother you when you're wanting to go this way, and he comes and troubles you. Listen, he's an adversary that's roaming to and fro like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if he can rob you of any joy, of any peace, or any of your praise to Almighty God coming from your lips, he'll do that. And thanks be to God, we've not been left alone. We don't want to put on Saul's armor, the way of the world to get through, but we've got our armor that he's given to us. Every one of you have been given armor. You've been given a helmet, which is salvation. You've been given a sword, which is the Word of God. And the living Word of God, even. You've been given a shield, which is a shield of faith. You've been given a breastplate, which is his righteousness, not your own. You've been given shoes to wear, which is the gospel that he told us to put on our feet. By the way, he didn't tell you to necessarily put the gospel in your mouth, though it's good in your mouth. It's better on your feet, which means when we walk what we believe, it's a whole lot better than talking what we believe. It's good to talk what we believe, but it's also very important not only to be hearers of the word, but to be what doers of the word. And what does that mean? That means I get all lifted up in my righteousness and go out bragging on myself. No, it means I humbly, as a little child of God, go trusting in the Lord. When am I pleasing God? Is when I'm trusting in the Lord. When I stop trusting in the Lord and start leaning on myself, then I stop pleasing God and I walk contrary to the things of God. I'm still His child, but it's like your children. When they're doing good things, aren't you pleased with them? When they're doing good things, you're pleased with them. And when they don't do good things, you're not necessarily pleased with them, but you still love them just as much, don't you? Isn't it wonderful to know God deals with His children in the same way? His love will never be separated from His love. But because He's loved us so much, shouldn't we want to act better and live better and talk better to please Him? Well, that's why church is here. To help you do that. That's why he made his church and put it here in this world. That's why David said, of all the things I have in my life, the church and the service of God is the most important of everything else. And that's why it's important for us to put it number one, because it helps keep everything else in its place. When we fail to have it in its place, everything else starts falling apart. Why? Because we got on Saul's armor. We got on something else. We're not right, wearing the right attire into the battle. And we're not trusting in the right one. Our trust should be in the Lord. He goes on and he says, in the past, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Why did they do that? Because the Lord caused them to stumble and fall. The Lord will protect you. He'll protect your family. As you turn your life over to the Lord, and of course no one does this but one who's already called of the Lord, born of the Lord, made alive by God. It's not something you begin, but it's that which is worked in you. When you work it out and turn it over to the Lord and leave it in His hands, the Lord will take care of His children. Has He not done that for you in the past? Any of us brave or bold enough to say the Lord hadn't really taken care of me in the past? If you are, then you're mighty wrong. I don't mean to offend you, but the Lord is always, always taking care of His children. And sometimes He'll bring, He won't cause it. He may... Well, let me say, I'm not going to tell you what God will do. God does what He wants to when He wants to. But I say this, not every bad thing that happens to you is happened because God predestinated it to occur. But there are times God suffers things to happen and occur in our life to teach us lessons and to give us growth and strength so that we're prepared for the next battle that He knows is coming our way. That's where I see the bear and the lion. You know, David could have said, I don't think it's right that I had to face a bear. I don't think it's right that I had to face a lion. What did David learn from the incident with the bear and the lion? He learned that I could trust in the Lord and that the Lord would take care of me. And as I look through some things I've gone through, I might wonder, why did I have to go through those? And I'm not saying that the Lord caused those. Many of them, maybe I caused. I might have been the fault of those. But God suffered it to be, and He took care of me in it, didn't He? Your life is filled with that, of where God has taken care of you. And you don't know what that preparation might be. It might be for you, and it might be for your children. It might be one day you have to talk to them about something that's coming. Have you not seen that already in your life? Absolutely. And God allows and suffers things to be in our lives. Thanks be to God, we have a God. He's always good. That's why we know He's not the author of sin, nor would we ever say that He predestinated or caused sin to be. We know He overrules it and can overrule it and does many times to bring good in our life. And He says here in verse 3, He says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. He's talking about what happened in the past and now what's going to happen in the future. And you and I need to know about what's going to happen in the future. He says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. What's he confident in? He's confident in that the Lord is his light and that the Lord is his salvation and that the Lord is his strength. And so whether I'm talking about eternal things, whether I'm talking about things right here in this world, when I trust in the Lord, I'm on solid, solid ground. And I didn't get very far in this passage, but that's okay. I pray that it's been of some benefit to you. And if it has been, give the Lord the honor and the praise and the glory for that. And all the mistakes in it, well, you know who did those. And so look over me in love about that and pray for me. When you have the mind to pray, remember me. And God bless you, each and every one. I love you, my brother. God bless you.